Our guest this morning is Eric Torch. He's the director of grant making at the Northland Foundation, and they have just awarded a little over $500,000 in grants approved to support programming that nurtures kids, youth, and families, strengthens individual and community well-being, including reducing poverty, enhances the lives of older adults and their caregivers, and promotes thriving communities in the 7 counties of northeastern Minnesota. We thought it would be fascinating not only to find out about who got the grants and what they're hoping to do with it, but a little bit about the grant-making process, because I would imagine the Northland Foundation gets a lot of requests. We'll also ask Eric, if you, like, inherit a huge sum of money or you discover a pirate treasure, how you can best use your money to do good for other people in the community. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Lisa?
Nice to have you on the line this morning. So, again, almost $500,000 worth of grants, and as I mentioned, I'm sure the Northland Foundation has many more applicants than they can afford to fulfill their requests. So how do you go about making decisions about who you choose to fund?
Yeah, well, and that is completely true. You know, on any given round, which we do grant making on four times a year, we'll receive 2 to 3 times the volume of requests and what we have funding available for. And so, you know, on the one hand, it makes decisions really, really tough, because we often have to say no to great work. But, you know, on the other hand, we see that there's a lot of amazing things happening in northeast Minnesota. We feel really privileged that we're able to support the things that we can provide funding for. You know, so there's always a number of factors that go into our decision making around what will ultimately end up being awarded as a grant. You know, we've been in northeast Minnesota for well over 30 years, operating, serving the 7 county area. You know, and so a lot of the organizations that are out there, we've had existing relationships with for many years, and so there'll be a level of competence on their prior work that weighs heavily in what we're doing. Although, you know, we are certainly open to new ideas and novel approaches to supporting things. So, you know, prior performance is one piece. You know, how well embedded they are in the community and serving a need that we've also sort of identified as really pressing. So, you know, a couple of the things that we're really focused on right now are trying to enhance the quality and access to early childhood care and education. That's a big crisis in northeast Minnesota, and so we regularly make grants to support that. You know, in this last round, we provided a lot of support for summer activities for youth in our region. You know, and with things like that, you know, we'll often sort of take a look at the data that exists and target our grant dollars to underserved areas where there's not a lot of existing services and there's a high incidence of childhood poverty. And so those are some of the things that kind of factor in on how we make our decisions.
So just on a for instance basis, not having access to the numbers or anything, but you might look more favorably on a program for kids in a small town where they're further away from a bigger town than perhaps a program here in the Twin Ports, where we have a bigger town and we have access to a lot of different things for kids already.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, there are multiple funding sources available in Duluth. I mean, we do fund a lot of programming in Duluth. You know, but one of the summer programs that we supported is in the small town of Northholme in southern Couchiching County, right? And so there's really not a lot of access to resources, you know, in that community, right? There's not, you know, it's a small town. There are no foundations based there, and so their access to funding support is pretty limited. And so I think, you know, when we get a request from a community like that, we definitely kind of, you know, oftentimes will show a preferential option for those kind of smaller community programs.
Well, and of course, you get kids a fun program that they can get involved in, and it's real possible that they would want to continue the program. And when they go off to college, maybe they'll come back over the summers. And if you can get something established that fits well with the community, maybe it's something that people can find a way to keep going through other means.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think oftentimes what we find is in these smaller communities, I mean, these folks really know how to stretch a dollar, and so what they can do with a couple thousand dollars is pretty incredible.
One of the other things that you funded in the second quarter has to do with the Northland Foundation's Rural Aging Initiative. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and so this is a special initiative that we have that is focused on helping older adults and their caregivers to live well in their homes and communities in Northeast Minnesota. So in our part of the state, right, I mean, everybody is getting older. That's the demographic trend generally across the United States and across Minnesota. But in particularly in Northeast Minnesota, right, our population tends to be older than the statewide and the national average. And so we know that it's the best thing for those individuals who are aging, as well as for the communities, is to help folks, you know, stay in their homes as long as possible and to be active and engaged members of their communities. And so we undertake a variety of initiatives to help support that. And so we've been doing this. We've had an aging focus from our beginning, but this Rural Aging Initiative, which has some very specific components, we've been doing this for about 4.5 years now. And we provide opportunities that span the gamut. So some of the work that we've supported in this last quarter includes a summer college intern program. We do intergenerational social engagement programs in 16 communities across Northeast Minnesota. And so in many of these communities, we make available to our partners an opportunity to provide stipends for college students who are returning home for the summer to make a little bit of money and to do some social engagement work that brings together the oldest residents in a community as well as the youngest around issues that the community determines to be of great importance. And so that project just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago. So we were just super excited to hear about some of the good work that they've done. We've also been making a number of grants that we sort of view as innovative and as a way to kind of help those older adults and caregivers, you know, live well in their communities. And so it might be doing, providing a grant to the Grand Rapids Area Library to host a series of discussion groups for older adults to help their, you know, to help, you know, be you know, to help increase their personal vitality and community engagement. We're looking at providing a lot of different opportunities to support caregivers that are taking care of older adults. You know, one interesting grant that we provided was to provide training to professional caregivers to improve the quality and sensitivity of care to older adults who are LGBT, and so in Northeast Minnesota, because that is something that we see that is a great need.
Eric, I don't think that you can get into a discussion of grants or a foundation very long before, because I think about just about everybody has thought, you know, wow, if I inherited a chunk of money or if my scratch-off ticket paid off, you know, the house, the boat, the whatever, but then I could give to, I could support, fill in the blank. And I think that it's interesting to me that people have that so many people have that generosity sense. You know, I mean, yeah, people want a house and they want to pay off their bills, but then they do start to think almost immediately about what good they could maybe do in their communities. If somebody were to get some kind of a financial windfall and they say, wow, I can really do something great. Well, of course, the first thing we recommend is that you support KUMD. But after you've done that, what would you recommend for someone who said, I really want to do good in my community, but I don't know where to start?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I think you know, it's about, you know, what are you as an individual passionate about, right? What are the issues that that kind of really excite you and that you want to spend energy to? And, you know, I would certainly after that generous contribution to KUMD, you know, that would be a great next step is to think about that. And so, you know, certainly people could do that, you know, on their own, or, you know, there's lots of options that exist within the realm of philanthropy to help you with that. You know, banks have, you know, a lot of banks have trust divisions that can help people do their due diligence and study about different opportunities for giving. Community foundations are a great resource as well. Many communities have foundations that often will pool resources so that you get a bigger bang for your investment, and then they'll also sort of listen to the interest of the donor and then direct giving in that way. And so there's definitely I think a lot of different opportunities for folks to sort of show their generosity in ways that I think make good sense. And so, you know, I think it's really about kind of following what your passion is and what are the things that, you know, that really, really motivate you.
And of course, even if you don't come into a sudden financial windfall, there are all kinds of little micro contributions that you can make to different organizations and nonprofits in the community, and those, you know, those every little bits, they really do add up over time.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. You know, before I took this position at the Northland Foundation, I worked for the Damiano Center in Duluth and was the executive director there for a number of years. You know, and we certainly received some very generous grants and contributions from wealthy individuals and foundations. You know, but the majority of the gifts that we got were $25, $50. And, you know, those are really, really important because it was the bedrock of how we operated. So for sure, it's like you don't need to win the Powerball or to be an incredibly wealthy individual to make a difference. I mean, even, you know, those smaller gifts of $25, $50, $100 makes a big difference to an organization.
Well, that is fantastic. Let's hope that a bunch of somebodies in the listening audience finds an organization that they're passionate about and maybe writes them a little check today just for fun. Eric, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It was great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. Have a great weekend.
Eric Torch is the Director of Grant Making at the Northland Foundation, and he joined us this morning as our guest on Northland Morning.